The year 2005, not very far history. The place Tokyo. A stock trader accidentally enters the wrong information on a form and sells 610,000 shares of the company for 1 yen instead of selling one share for 610,000 yen as he intended to. The stock market refused to cancel the trade, and that mistake cost his company more than $230 million, and I'm guessing probably his job. Oops. Our next storyteller is no stranger to the Bloomington Normal Theater community, whether that's on the stage, behind the scenes, or in the audience. He's always willing to lend a hand, just don't ask him to babysit. Please join me in welcoming Chris Turvin.
Rubber ducky, you're the one. You make bath time lots of fun. Rubber ducky, I'm awfully fond of you.
Good evening. I grew up just outside of Bloomington Normal in a small bucolic town called Downs. Oh, I correct myself, I'm sorry. A small bucolic village called Downs. We were not big enough to be a town. It was 1984, and I was 13 years old. Just turned 13. It was the second week in February. And our next door neighbors, Jack and Diane, because you know there's a song about them, the Krasinskis, had a young son, just a little over 2 years old, named Jake. Jack and Diane had been living there for about 6 years, Jake being born in the last two, obviously. And he kind of grew up in our neighborhood. So he would wander around town, he would visit the neighbors. So we all knew Jake fairly well. Well, Jack and Diane wanted to go, I keep saying that name, it just sounds really weird. They wanted to go out on a date night. So they came over to my parents' house and asked if I would be willing to babysit Jake. Sure, of course I would. I've grown up with a sister 2 years younger than me. I've taken care of her all the time. My parents would be right next door. Not a problem. I can take care of Jake for an evening while they go have a date night. So, date night comes along. I go over to Jack and Diane's house. Diane meets me at the door. She gives me the list of instructions of Jake's evening that I will be putting forth for him. And I get the phone numbers of the restaurant they're going to and then the home that they're going to afterwards for drinks with friends, so on and so forth. So Jake's night was going to consist of me preparing dinner for him, playtime after that, bath time after that, then off to bed, hopefully before his parents came home so that they could have another quiet evening, him already tucked in. And everything was going to plan. Jake and I got along great, so I fixed him his dinner. He insisted on macaroni and cheese with cut up hot dogs. Don't ask. I prepared that using the stove at 13 years old and everything. So Jake ate his dinner. He enjoyed that. Then we had playtime where he pulled every toy he owned out to show me and then play with for 5 minutes and then go get something else. And that went great. So we had a lovely playtime. Played for about 2 hours. He only hit me with three of the toys. We only broke one of them. I got everything cleaned up. So next on the list was bath time. Sure, not a problem at all. I can do this. I got the bathtub ready. We got all the tub toys out, of which he had a whole separate group of those as well. Jake was a little spoiled being an only child. So I prepared the bath, not too hot, not too cold, only about 3 or 4 inches of water because, you know, he's still only a little over two. So we get Jake in the bath, we're playing with the toys, everything's going great. Again, he's having a grand old time, we've got tub toys everywhere, He's splashing around in the water. I'm already soaked all over. And the phone rings. So this was 1984, for those of you in the audience who are too young to remember that year. Phones were attached to walls. And they had these dial things on them where you had to, like, if your number started in the ones or twos, it was just a long dial. So anyway, Jack and Diane's phone was in the hallway just off the bathroom. So I was torn. He was in the bath. I didn't want to leave him unsupervised. And so I started just backing up a little to see, you know, if I could reach the phone and still keep an eye on Jake. And he was doing fine. You know, don't get me wrong, I wasn't panicking or anything at that point. So I backed my way out into the hallway, inching, and I could just reach the phone and pull it off the wall. And the cord wasn't long enough for me to actually stand in the doorway and watch Jake and be on the phone at the same time. So I'm kind of like this, with the phone out here, trying to keep an eye on him, trying to talk, and it's Diane. And she's checking to see how the evening's going, which why she called during what she knew was approximately bath time, I'm not sure. I mean, maybe her dinner went really well or something a few drinks later. But, so I'm on the phone. I run through all of the evening's festivities with Diane that, you know, the macaroni and cheese and the hot dogs, the plane with all the toys, the one we broke, and, you know, informed her that we were at bath time. Jake was in the bath. Yes, I could just see him, and I could hear him splashing this whole time and laughing and having a grand old time. And so, you know, she's telling me she's going to be home a little later than expected. Not a problem. If I have any issues, my parents are right next door. No worries. And at this point, I hear a small crash. I look in the bathroom and Jake's fine. He's still in there, splashing, having fun, still in the bath. I'm a little confused. I go back to the phone to talk to Diane. Yes, you'll be late. Not a problem. Everything's great. Everything's Jake. So at this point, I'm trying to get off the phone with Diane, but she won't shut up. Because I can still hear Jake, and every time I stick my head in, he's still fine, but I don't hear the water anymore. And I didn't think he was adept enough to, like, let the water out of the tub, but he's still playing tub toys, flinging everywhere. He's got to be okay. So go back to Diane. Finally get off the phone with her. I will now take a moment to explain to you what Jake's father, Jack, did for a living. Jack was a janitor for our local high school at the time, grade school combined. And I tell you that because as I walked back into the bathroom, there was no water in the tub. There was a ton of cotton and cardboard tubes and strings. There was an industrial-sized box of tampons on the shelf next to the bathtub. Jake had pulled them in to the tub. That was the crash that I had heard. And as soon as water seeped into the substandard packaging, they just exploded. And I didn't have enough water in the tub to soak them all up, so it was just a layer of tampon remnants. I'm 13 years old. I barely know what they're for, let alone what the hell I'm gonna do about it. So, in my, you know, standard 13-year-old panic, I pull Jake out of the tub, I get him all dried off, we get him in his pajamas, and I'm freaking out at this point. So I carry Jake over to my parents' house, and then have to explain to my mother that there's a bathtub full of exploded tampons in Jack and Diane's house. After she stopped laughing, about 10 minutes later, she came over and helped me. We got a garbage bag. We scooped up all the tampon remnants, hauled them out, two garbage bags full later. I read Jake his bedtime story. Jake's parents come home. And then I forget, up until that moment, that I now have to explain to Diane that she has no tampons and why. And that is why I will never babysit again. Thanks.